back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 34, and we're picking up with verse 24. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city.
So evidently, Hamor and Shechem were pretty good salesmen to talk all the men of the city there into being circumcised, but they all consented, all those who had gathered at the gate anyway, they all consented to this agreement.
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister.
So Simeon and Levi are Dinah's brothers, and they had this devious plan all along. So they wait till the third day when these men are too sore to be a threat to them. And so they just go in with their swords and kill all the males, including the prince, Hamor, and his son, Shechem.
Okay, they spoiled the city, verse 28. And they took their sheep, their oxen, and their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little, and their little ones, and their wives, took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house.
So not only do they kill the men of the city, they take their sister back, plus they take all the possessions in the city. In other words, they spoil the city. And taking the wives, the children. When I say spoil, I mean they captured the city and its wealth. And so where Hamor and Shechem and the men thought that they were going to share in their wealth, they lost everything, including their lives.
And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house."
So Jacob was not part of this plot or this scheme. As a matter of fact, he was very frightened at what they had done. And because of the effect that it was going to have around, he says, "We're small. And these Canaanites, they hear what's occurred, they band together, and they wipe us out." And so he can't even stay where he had settled in.
And they said, "Should he deal with our sister as with a harlot?"
Now, Simeon and Levi's response was, "So what are we supposed to do? Let him treat our sister like she's a prostitute or something?" And that's basically what we have concerning that narrative, okay?
In chapter 35, this records Jacob's return to Bethel, his name change, God's covenant with Israel or Jacob, and the mothers of his 12 sons. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob.
And so now God speaks to Jacob again. He tells him, go to Bethel. Bethel was formerly called Luz. That's where Jacob had the encounter with God, where he saw the staircase, you know, the angels ascending and descending. And Jacob sets him a monument up there. What was his pillow became a pillar, recognizing that that was the house of God, and that's what Bethel means. And so what he's doing is basically God says, arise and go to Bethel. You go where you go, live there where I live. Think about it. Make an altar to God who appeared to you. And then you tell your household to get rid of all their foreign gods and to take a bow. Now this is interesting. Especially someone said something to me yesterday about appearance when you appear before God, like it doesn't matter what you look like. I know what God spoke to me personally. It does matter what you look like. But here he's saying, not only do you get rid of these idols, because evidently they still got their little idols that they're setting up. He said, you get rid of these things and you take a bath. Now here's what that says to me. When you go before God, you better go clean. You don't have any baggage. In other words, you go before God as presentable to God. Now, I'm not going to tell you a dress code that's presentable to God. I'm just going to tell you that God is a God of honor. There is not a higher position than God. Would you meet a diplomat of a country, the head of a country, in a better way than you would meet God? It's amazing, and we've gotten so lax today. There's a disrespect for God. And what Jacob is saying is, but he's instilling into them, you better respect God when you go before them. You'll find when Moses took the nation of Israel to Mount Sinai, and God said he was going to come down and take a bath. You get clean. You get clean before God. So there's a tremendous message to me that's being conveyed in all this, and Jacob reminds them that he had built an altar to God, and that he was, or he had set up a pillar. He was going to build an altar to God when they got there, and so Jacob took all this, these idols and the gold earring that they had, and he hid them under an oak tree there at Shechem, and they traveled. Note this. It says the terror of God was upon the surrounding cities, so they didn't pursue the sons of Jacob. That was Jacob's concern. These other cities hear about what happened, they'll band together and come after us. But it had an opposite effect. God just used that to put fear in our heart. You don't mess with them. Okay?
So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built an altar. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother.
Now note, this is in the land of Canaan. He goes there to Luz, which he calls Bethel now. And when he gets there, he builds an altar and he calls that place El, God. Hail is God. God, Bethel, house of God. God's house. This is the house of God. This is where God appeared to me. You understand? He never forgot that encounter with the Lord.
But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon-Bacuth.
Do you remember Rebekah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember Deborah, whom Laban mm-hmm. gave to her to be a nurse, a slave girl, you know, that met the needs of Rebekah? It says, then, this is where Deborah died, and she was buried there at Bethel under an oak. And they named the place she was buried Allon-Bacuth, which means oak of weeping. I was thinking about that this afternoon. Oak of weeping. Evidently, she had had a positive influence on them and must have been well loved because of the mm-hmm. to name that place, this place of weeping, because evidently they were weeping and mourning for her.
And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be with you, shall be of you. And kings shall come out of your loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to you I will give it, and to your seed after you will I give the land.
So God appeared to Jacob before he went to Paddan Aram, as he was on his way. And now as he returns from Paddan Aram, God appears to him again and blesses him. And he says, Your name is Jacob. And it's interesting that this is said in several different times. Sometimes it takes a little while for us to catch on, to go by a different name, you understand? So God said, Your name Jacob, but from this time forward it will be Israel. I am God Almighty, be fruitful and reproduce. Now note this, he said, You will produce a nation. Now he's telling this to Israel. You will produce a nation, a company of nations and kings. In the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you and your descendants. And then after God spoke to Jacob, it says that God left the place.
And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel.
You know, it says Jacob set up a pillar. In other words, he's taking these stones and building what we would call a monument or a memorial. It's a memorial to God. It's a reminder. God appeared to me here. You understand? That's what this is all about. It's not anything to worship, but it's a memorial to God. And he that place is named. You know, it's not us. They don't recognize that city as Luz. They recognize that city as the house of God, Bethel.
And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, Fear not, you shall have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin.
So remember, Rachel had only one son, Joseph, but she's become pregnant again. And as they're traveling, it's her due time. She goes into hard labor and gives birth to a son. And the midwife, who's assisting her, tells her not to be afraid and assures her that she's going to give birth to this son. And as she died, in other words, this birth killed her. As she died, she named the son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow or son of my pain. But Jacob named him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. So he's losing the one he loved so much, Rachel. Okay? But she leaves him, and think about this. I mean, Jacob's not a young man now. And she leaves him with a newborn son. He says, not son of pain, my right hand.
And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day.
So Rachel died on the way to, actually Ephrath is Bethlehem, okay? And so she dies on the way, and they bury her there, and Jacob sets a pillar up, again a monument, at her grave. And at the time of the writing of Genesis, that marker was still there.
And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Oh, I'm sorry. I left off verse 21. Cover me, please.
Okay. Israel continues on his journey, sets up camp at Edar, beyond the Tower of Edar. And this is the place where Reuben had sexual relations with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Then Israel heard what Reuben had done. And at this time, Jacob had 12 sons, from whom came the 12 tribes of Israel. I told you that the Bible has some graphic stuff in it. You understand? Here we're seeing incest. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now here's the man that Reuben... Now remember, Reuben is the oldest son. Bilhah is a maid, a handmaid, you understand, to Rachel. And evidently Reuben was attracted to her, and so he goes to bed with her, and Jacob hears about it, and it costs Reuben big time. Okay? And we won't go into that here. We'll get to that a little later. Now we see the 12 sons of Jacob that make up the nation, or will make up the nation of Israel. You with me? These 12 sons came from 4 different women. 2 were called wives, 2 were called concubines. The reason they're called concubines is because they were his wives. Leah had a slave girl. Rachel had a slave girl. And so when he had sex with the slave girl, that's a concubine rather than a wife, a full-fledged wife. You understand? It's like Sarah and Hagar. Sarah owned Hagar even after Abraham had had sexual relations and she had had a son. She was still Sarah's slave. And her son was Sarah's. You with me? So just trying to get these things in perspective, all right?
And that's going to be a test question that you're going to see. The question is, the 12 blank are not the descendants of the 12 sons of one man and one woman. the 12 tribes of Israel are not the descendants of the 12 sons of one man and one woman. Okay, so let's pick up reading with verse 23. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun.
So Leah, the one that Laban deceived Jacob with, she actually produced half of the tribes of Israel, 6 of the 12 sons. Reuben was the oldest. He was the firstborn. Simeon. Then Levi. Levi's where the priesthood came from. And then Judah, through whom Jesus came. And then Issachar and Zebulun. That's interesting, too. Remember, Simeon and Levi, these were the culprits. These were the violent people. And yet later on, when the tribe of Levi took a stand with Moses for God, the only tribe, God set them apart to be priests.
The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin.
So Rachel has 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin.
And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali.
So Bilhah's Rachel's slave, she produced Dan and Naphtali.
Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which was
Zilpah's Leah's slave, and her 2 sons were Gad and Asher. All of these are sons of Jacob or sons of Israel that ultimately produce this nation of Israel that exists today.
And they were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is in Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
So with the exception of Benjamin, all of Jacob's sons, 11 sons, were born in Padan Aram. While Jacob was living there near his father-in-law, Laban. Jacob went to his father Isaac's home at Mamre, which is near the city of Arba, or Hebron is actually what Arba is. And this is where Abraham and Isaac lived. Isaac was 180 years old when he died, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. You know, I was thinking again this afternoon about this and then seeing this in other nations that I've traveled. Families, as they were born, they didn't separate normally. They had their own village. You remember how old Isaac was when he got married? 40 years old. You know, he was still living at home. And when Rebekah was brought to him, he took her to his mother's tent. Right? And what happens is the family starts growing and you get this tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, which by the time they left Egypt was probably, there was 601,000 footmen. So you're probably looking at well over 1 million people that has come from these 12 sons. But when they would set up camp, you know how they set up camp? As tribes. When they went into the promised land and received their inheritance, they received their inheritance as tribes. And the inheritance was ordained in the law that inheritance would not pass from one tribe to another tribe if there was an intermarriage. that had to stay to the tribe. And so you see this all along. How do you think these villages and all these the African tribes or Indian tribes or whatever tribe, you understand? These families that grow into a multitude of people. Okay. Just giving you a little insight here as to how this thing worked. And there's a lot we could say about it. When Zelophehad had, you find it, and he was of the tribe of Manasseh. He didn't have sons. He had daughters. And when Joshua divided the land, they were real concerned that Zelophehad's daughters were going to marry somebody in another tribe, and the inheritance would pass from their tribe to another tribe through marriage, and it was incorporated in the law that that was not to take place, and those daughters were told, you marry in your tribe. Mm-hmm. Five daughters, and they married in their tribe. They was true to the law. Mm-hmm. All that had purpose. I just thought you might want to know.
We did. We do. Okay. Chapter 36.
All right.
Gives us Esau's genealogy. And we're just going to read this chapter together.
I've told her she was real concerned about this chapter.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, nobody knows how to pronounce the names. You look at this scholar, he may pronounce it this way. You look at this scholar and he pronounces it this way. This Bible dictionary breaks the syllables up this way. This one will break it up another way. So what do? You just say it the way you know how to say it. And if you can say it better, you say it better. Okay?
Okay. If you can say it better, say it better. Now, these are the generations of Esau, who was Edom. Esau took his wife.
Genealogy is what this is.
Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth, and Adah bare Esau, Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholibamah bare Jeshus, and Jaalam, and Korah, and these are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan.
So if you want a unique name for a child, you're searching for it, just go to Genesis, okay?
And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had gotten in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the...
Before you go any further, I want to show you something here. The land of Cana was given to Israel. Esau, at that particular time, they were growing up, they were living there. Esau moves out of the land of Cana. He goes to Mount Seir, and he becomes a nation. His descendants, the nation, is called Edom. Okay, just like Jacob is Israel, Esau, the nation, was Edom. But the land of Canaan was given to Israel, and Esau left out of that land voluntarily. Now, Edom opposed it later on. Okay? But the land was given to Israel.
In verse 10, These are the names of Esau's sons.
The reason he left is like Lot and Abraham. They had so many possessions that the land wasn't big enough for them. So not only was Israel blessed, but Esau was blessed also. Okay, try it again.
Okay, these are the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Edah, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Bashemeth, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Jatham, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Edah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Reuel, Nahath, and Zerah, Shammah, and Mizzah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau to Gia. Let me start that again.
I'll let you take a break here.
Thank you.
There's not a different Hebrew word for grandson and son. And so when you see the word son, it can be translated different ways. Some of these are grandsons.
Yeah.
But you'll see, we talked about Nahor earlier.
Yeah.
At one point in Scripture, Laban is called the son of Nahor, but he's actually the grandson of Nahor. And some of these are grandsons. Your context will define that. Okay.
Okay. All right, I'm in the middle of, or the end of 14. And she bare to Esau Jeus and Jaalam and Korah, and these were the dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Jatham, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz. In the land of Edom, these were the sons of Edah. And these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizzah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemeth, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibamah, Esau's wife. Duke Jeus, Duke Jaalam, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom. And these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land of Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishon, and Ezer, and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir, in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Hori, and Hemam, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these, Alvan, and Manahath, and Ebal, Shepho, and Onan. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah. This was that Anah that was found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father.
Now, I must say something there. This is the sons of Zibeon, and Anah was the one who found the warm springs. Now, that's evidently marked him in his time. He was known, the people of the time, as the one who discovered these warm springs, like people today discover things and all that. And so their names tied with that. I believe that's why it is put that way. It evidently was significant in his lifetime anyway. Okay.
In verse 25. And the children of Anon were these, Dishon, Aholibama, the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishon, Hemdan, Ishaban, Ithran, Sheran, and the children of Ezer are these, Bilhan, and Zaavan, and Akan, and the children of Dishan are these, Uz and Aran. These are the dukes that came of the Horites, Duke Lotan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibion, Duke Anah, Duke Dishan, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came of Hori, among the dukes in the land of Seir. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhabah. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah, of Zorah, reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham in the land of Temani reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Avith. And Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah reigned in his stead. And Samla died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baalan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead. And Baalan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, and the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names. Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jeatheth, Duke Aholibama, Duke Elah, Duke Pinon, Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mibzar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Iram. These are the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possessions. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites.
She made it just in the nick of time, right?
Praise Jesus.
All right. So you got the history of Esau. All right, our time's up, so we'll stop here, okay?
Thank you, Lord.
You did good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.